In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In today's epistle reading, St. Paul echoes the words of St. Peter from last week's epistle by telling us that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. That is to say, our Lord Jesus Christ's second coming will be unexpected. Many will be unprepared for that day, and for those who are unprepared, it will be a very, very bad day. In our gospel text, the parable of the 10 virgins illustrates this point very clearly. Notice that all of the virgins, regardless of whether they are categorized as wise or foolish, all of the virgins fall asleep when they were supposed to be keeping watch for the bridegroom. None of them were expecting the bridegroom to come back at the particular moment when he came. It's not the sleeping or waking that distinguished these two groups of virgins. No, it was the preparedness or lack thereof that causes our Lord to call those five wise and the other five foolish. The five foolish virgins, then, because they were unprepared, are locked out of the wedding chamber. And this is not an insignificant thing. This is not just a matter of you have to sleep outside for the night and can be let in the morning. No, this is serious. In the context of our Lord talking about his second coming, being locked out of the wedding chamber is to have eternal consequences. And so we can see in the parable of the 10 virgins that the day of the Lord will indeed come like a thief in the night. For some, it will be good news. For others, not so much. There is another day of the Lord, talked about in the scriptures, that came like a thief in the night. This day, of course, was the Passover in the Exodus. The Lord's people, Israel, were sojourning in Egypt. They had been there for about 400 years, and the new Pharaoh began oppressing God's people. In fact, he wanted to basically wipe them off the face of the earth, killing their children, working the fathers to the point of almost death. And so the Lord God saw the mistreatment of his people. He resolved that he was going to come down and deliver them from their slavery in Egypt and bring them to a promised land. And so the Lord appointed Moses as his servant, as his representative, his voice, to go to Pharaoh and to speak to him. Thus says the Lord, let my people go. As we know, Pharaoh, of course, refused to do this. And so the 10 plagues ensued as our Lord slowly and surely tried to convince Pharaoh of his own accord to let the Israelites go. And as Pharaoh's heart grew harder and harder, the 10th and culminating plague finally came about. That was the plague where the Lord sent the angel of death to destroy, to kill the firstborn of everyone who was not covered by the blood of the Lamb. And of course, as we know famously, the Lord gives instruction to his people, Israel, as to how they can be prepared for this coming day of the Lord. They were to sacrifice the Passover lamb and take its blood and cover their door frames with the blood so that when the angel of death came and saw the blood covering the house, he would pass over. The Israelites did just this. They were prepared, and so they were spared from the judgment on this day of the Lord. But the Egyptians, not so much. We read in Exodus chapter 12, "And it came to pass at midnight that the Lord struck all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sat on his throne to the firstborn of the captive who was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of the livestock. So Pharaoh rose in the night, he, all his servants, and all the Egyptians. And there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead." So we see in the Passover, at this day of the Lord, it came at midnight, like a thief in the night. Those who were prepared, the Israelites, were delivered. Those who were unprepared, who were not covered by the blood of the Lamb, they met their doom. And so the Passover, this day of the Lord, is more than just a historical event. Of course, it is a historical event. But in the scriptures, the Passover is more than that. It becomes a type, a foreshadowing of the coming day of the Lord. And so we must be clear on this based on our understanding of both the Passover and the parable of the 10 virgins, that the return of the Lord on the last day will not be good news for everyone. It will be good news for some who will be delivered, but for others, it will bring judgment. And so Christ's return on the last day is good news only for those who have faith. But there is yet another day of the Lord, which came like a thief in the night, talked about in the scriptures. This particular day of the Lord was an even more significant and even greater day than the Passover, and yes, even a greater and more significant day than the date of Christ's return at the end of all things. This day of the Lord occurred in the Garden of Gethsemane. In that hour, Jesus said to the multitudes who had come to arrest him, "Have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs to take me? I sat daily with you, teaching in the temple, and you did not seize me. But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled." Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. Like a thief in the night, this band of robbers came to arrest our Lord. He was abandoned by his disciples, and he was led off to be slaughtered and killed. And yet, of course, the irony of this event, the irony of our Lord's death, is that his captors, this band of robbers, didn't realize that what they were doing in putting our Lord to death was playing right into the hands of the Lord. This was his desire, to lay down his life, to go to the cross, to be sacrificed on that Passover as the final Passover lamb, whose blood would cover the sins of the world. And so because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ as the final Passover lamb, all who are covered by his blood now will be delivered at the coming final day of the Lord. Of course, the all-important question at this point is, how do I become one who is covered by his blood? The simple answer, of course, is have faith. Is it really that simple, though? Just have faith. Faith alone. Well, yes and no. Our Lord Jesus instructs his disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane just prior to his arrest. He tells them, stay here and watch with me. And then later when he comes back and finds them sleeping, he wakes them and again tells them, watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. So how is one covered by the blood of the Lamb, or to go back to the metaphor from our gospel text for today, how does one ensure that he is prepared with oil for the hour? Well, faith, yes, but not faith that is alone. To be covered by the blood of the Lamb, to have enough oil for the day of the Lord, is to have a faith that is ready to resist temptation. Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. It is to have a faith that is willing to surrender one's self, because the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. It is to have a faith that desires above all else to honor Christ. So here's the thing with both the disciples in Gethsemane as well as the virgins in the parable. All of them fell asleep. All of them, in one way or another, succumbed to that temptation. The disciples, worst of all, they not only fell asleep twice, but then when the hour came, they ran away from the Lord. Thanks be to God that he gave them a second chance. But in like manner, the foolish virgins in our gospel text for today, they weren't prepared. They didn't have enough oil to relight their lamps when the bridegroom came. It was only the wise who were prepared, who had enough oil to be ready to honor Christ. So how do we learn from those wise virgins? How do we ensure that we will have enough oil when the day of the Lord finally comes? Well, the first way that we learn from these wise virgins is to recognize and confess that Christ indeed is coming. It's easy to lose sight of that. It's easy to lose hope in that. But we must be confident in our confession and belief that Christ is coming, despite what the world tells us, despite what it appears to our eyes. Christ is coming, and because Christ is coming, we know from the scriptures that his coming will be good for some and not for everyone. And so what that means for us is that not only do we need to confess that Christ is coming, we need to be like those wise virgins and recognize that our preparation for that day matters. Herein is the wisdom of the wise virgins. Their preparation accounted for the fact that they were fallible. They were ready for the case in which they might fall asleep as they were watching and waiting for the bridegroom to come. Certainly, they did not bank on falling asleep, but they were prepared in case that were to happen so that they had oil and were ready to relight the lamps when the bridegroom came. And so our preparations for that last day matter. Each day that our Lord delays in coming is another day for you and I to prepare ourselves for that day. And so as we prepare ourselves for that day, we must first of all seek to ever feed our faith in Christ. Now, on the one hand, you may say, well, How do I know what I need? How do I prepare myself for that day? And that, of course, is a valid question and concern. But remember this, that where the word of God is, there the Spirit is working. God's word does not return to him void, but it accomplishes the purpose for which he sets out. Where the word of God is working, there the Spirit of God is. And so it is not we who prepare ourselves for the last day, but we who put ourselves in a position for the Spirit to prepare us for the last day. And so we seek to ever feed our faith in Christ in preparation for that day by putting ourselves in the places where the oil is dispensed before it's too late, putting ourselves in the places where the means of grace are, the word and the sacraments, where Christ, by his Spirit, has promised to meet his people. And so we prepare ourselves in that way by allowing the Spirit to work to prepare us, not presuming on his kindness like the foolish virgins who believed that they would have time to make things right, or they didn't account for the possibility that anything could go wrong. They either believed that their friends would share oil with them, or the bridegroom would have mercy on them when they came in late after buying more oil from the dealers. But the problem with presuming on the kindness of the Lord is that there will come a time when that kindness runs out. When Christ returns at the last day to judge the living and the dead, what is done in this life will matter and cannot be changed. And so, like the wise virgins, we prepare ourselves for that coming day of the Lord by placing ourselves in the positions where the Spirit has promised to be, to prepare us, by praying that the Lord would prepare us for his coming. And finally, maybe most importantly, by trusting in the goodness of the Lord, not presuming on his kindness, but trusting in his goodness. That when we do our part, when we allow his Spirit to prepare us, he will awaken us on the last day. And this is the good news. Even the wise virgins fell asleep. Even the wise virgins succumbed to temptation. When you fall asleep in your faith, when you succumb to temptation, this is the Lord's promise. He will be there to wake you up, to issue that call. Here is the bridegroom, come to meet him. So my friends, you are the wise virgins in that sense, who have come to this place to be prepared by the Spirit for that day when the Lord will return. Because Christ returned on the last day as the bridegroom, it will be good news for us who have faith. And so we boldly pray, come, Lord Jesus. Come quickly, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.